Hello, and thanks for listening to the podcast edition of Ordinary Philosophy. Here, you can listen to audio renditions of essays published in Ordinary Philosophy about philosophy as one of the most important tools to help us live good and meaningful lives, and about the history of ideas that change the world. For more about Ordinary Philosophy, and to discover the sources and inspiration for each essay, please visit www.ordinaryphilosophy.com. I'm Amy Cools, author and creator of Ordinary Philosophy. Episode 12. To Washington, D.C., Virginia, and Philadelphia I go, in search of Thomas Jefferson. Traveling Philosophy Series, Introduction and Prologue. Here's the introduction. From time to time, I take a trip to some corner of the globe to explore the life and ideas of a great thinker in the places they lived and worked. For this series, I follow in the footsteps of thinkers who are no longer alive, since those who are still telling their own stories. But those who are no longer alive in the body live on in the ideas that they pass on and in the example they provide for us to follow. I'm pleased and excited to announce my third philosophical, historical-themed adventure, this time in Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, and various sites in Virginia to follow in the footsteps of, you may have guessed it, Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson was born on April 13, 1743, and in his long life he accomplished more than most. He was a founding father of the United States and went from being a young scholar, lawyer, and representative in the Virginia House of Burgesses to writing the Declaration of Independence and the Virginia Statute for Religious Freedom, to public service as a congressman, as minister to France, as secretary of state, to vice president, to friend and rival John Adams, and finally as third president of the United States. Throughout his life, among many other things, he was an inventor, amateur scientist, farmer, avid reader, architect, naturalist, author, founder of the University of Virginia, and of course, philosopher. He was a fascinatingly complex and contradictory figure, a self-described, shy and modest man with a distaste for politics, who time and time again re-entered the strident political arena of his day to eventually reach the highest office in the land. A critic of the national debt and of too much federal power, and a strict constitutional constructionist, who helped create the stronger national government in the first place, and who flouted the Constitution and further indebted the nation to make the Louisiana Purchase, a promoter of personal liberty and a slave owner, an idealist and a pragmatist. So off to the East Coast I go. There, I'll visit landmarks associated with his life and places where he lived, worked, died, thought, wrote, studied, rested, and played. I'll be traveling there from April 18th through the 26th, 2015, and will be writing throughout the trip. I'll be writing not only about his ideas, but about what I can discover about his everyday life in these places, and whatever feeling of the time and place I can capture. Here's the prologue. As I sit here in the airport terminal in Salt Lake City, waiting for one of my connecting flights to D.C., I sleepily munch on French fries and watch the crowd go by. My ever-generous darling awoke with me at 3:30 this morning to drive me to the airport. And though I'm almost too tired to think, I can't sleep either, as is usually the case at the beginning of a trip. I can usually sleep on the way home. So as I'm watching the crowd, I've got Thomas Jefferson in the back of my mind, as I've been immersing myself in biographies, lectures, discussions, and authors' talks about his life and thought over the last couple of weeks. On the first leg of my trip, I had just been rereading the first chapters of Susan Jacoby's marvelous Freethinkers, A History of American Secularism, in which Jefferson's Enlightenment philosophy, his deism, and his efforts to enshrine a robust conception of human rights and separation of church and state in state and federal law play a large role. A strong belief in the basic natural goodness and perfectibility of humankind underlie Jefferson's view of human nature and his political philosophy. In the airport, I see those traits personified which would justify Jefferson's faith in humanity if they were as universal as he had hoped. I see cooperation, courtesy, patience, and friendliness abound. People chat freely with others they just met. Others stand in line and in crowded aisles with forbearance, and courteously let others go ahead of them or step around them with a smile, if they are burdened with children or slowed by age or disability. Still others helpfully pick up a bag or a scarf dropped by a fellow passenger in a hurry to get their things so as not to delay others. I just saw a man give up the standby seat he had just won to the woman who had forfeited it, who was on the verge of tears because she had arrived mere moments before her flight was due to take off. I also see a wide diversity of race, culture, and creed represented in the crowd peacefully assembled here in one place, cooperating seamlessly with one another, which the slave-owning, yet abolitionist, yet repatriationist Jefferson thought impossible. More on these contradictions in a later piece. He didn't think, for one thing, that people of different races could live harmoniously in one place, not to mention his dim view of women's ability to fully engage in public life and in the professional world. I see an elderly woman murmur fervent prayers in a low voice to an image of a Hindu saint, I think, perched on the bag on her lap, with no one protesting or even batting an eye. I see a black woman with a cross prominently displayed on her bosom accept instructions from the woman of apparent Middle Eastern descent at the podium, and then share pleasantries with her. I see a young white, apparently Mormon man praising the sweet looks and winning personality of the child of Indian parents across the aisle, comparing her virtues to those of his own children at home. I sit next to two women, smelling of stale smoke, missing a few teeth, wearing cheap clothes, happily chatting and smiling about the adventure they're embarking on, without any show of feeling out of place next to the obviously much wealthier woman sitting next to them on the other side, and who, in turn, shows no sign of noticing or even caring about rubbing shoulders with those of a different economic class. I see a young female pilot stride confidently down the aisle, a young boy gazing at her admiringly. This airport, right now, in so many ways, is the America of Jefferson's dreams, realizing his rather idealistic view of human nature, and in many ways surpassing it. I wish he could see it right now, to relish just this justification of his hopes for what his country could be, and to learn that human nature is capable of being even better than he thought possible. But when I think about all that's going on in the world right now, I know we still have a long way to go. For now, I'm not going to dwell on that. I'm just going to enjoy this microcosm of human goodness I find myself in right now.